You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today, look in Luke chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 25. And today, I just want to share briefly just a thought on the word compassion. A thought on the word compassion. I had the opportunity Friday morning to get up and go to Berry Middle School over in Hoover, and I went to Berry Middle School to their first priority meeting, and look, I've done first priority before. It's like a Bible club, and I've done that as a youth pastor. When I was a youth pastor, I used to do first priority clubs, and I went in, and I used to have, like at my first priority club I went to, we would have like 10 or 15 kids show up, and we thought we were just knocking it out of the park. Man, we got 15 kids here. Yeah, this is great. I showed up the other day, and I told the guy, I said, okay, you know, because there's like already like 10 or 15 kids in there when I got there. I said, okay, so what do we, you know, are we ready to get started? He's like, oh, no, we got a few minutes yet. He said, there'll probably be 120 people in here before you even get started preaching. And by the time you get done, there'll be 150 to maybe even 200 kids packed in this room. And I was like, holy smokes, you know, so I was fired up, you know, and so I was ready to go. And I got up there and I started preaching, and I was actually preaching what I'm going to preach to you guys today. And whenever I got done, they didn't do like hands raised or anything like that. They just had little cards that people filled out. And so we had the cards were already passed out, and it was nuts. There was, for real, probably 150 kids packed, junior hires packed into this room. And look, it was a miracle of God. Most of them paid attention. I know that is just a miracle. Junior hire, if you've ever been around junior hires, you know. And the other miracle of God was they told me I had about 15 minutes to preach. Yeah, some of y'all laughing already. Look, listen, I got done preaching. I got done with my sermon. I turned around to the guy and I said, it was time to pray. I said, how much time do I have left to pray? He said, we still got 7 minutes left. And I was like, that's right. I did. So anyways, it was fun. We got to preach to those guys. And look, after it was over, I had no idea what kind of response it was. I didn't know, you know, what happened. So I left, and the guy that was over emailed me later on that afternoon. And he said 8 kids gave their heart to Jesus Christ for the first time, and 6 kids rededicated their life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? Right there in the first priority club. So, that was nothing to say except it was a really cool story. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read the story of the Good Samaritan. And every time I've ever thought about the Good Samaritan story, I never start at the beginning. I don't know why. I always start somewhere in the middle, because I always start at the story, the actual part about the Good Samaritan. But really, the story starts in verse 25. So if you're in your Bible or on your phone, Luke 10, 25, and the Bible says this, and behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what's written in the law? How do you read it? Verse 27, this is key. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. I'm gonna read the whole story today, but as we go, we're going to just pause every so often. So right now, I'm going to pause. I want to tell you something. The question that most of us are always asking ourselves is, how do I live? How do I get that eternal life? How do I have that life more abundant? What is it that I need to do? What is it that I need to have? What is it that I need to download into my life to be able to have life? Jesus says this, love God with everything you got and love your neighbor like you love yourself. Then you will have life. Can I tell you something today? It's not a big formula. It's not something really hard. It's all about love. It's all about loving God. It's not about, oh, well, is it okay for me to smoke cigarettes? It's not about smoking cigarettes. It's about loving God. It's about loving God. Well, is it okay for me to drink a beer every so often? That's not what it's about. It's about loving God. Let me tell you something. The closer we get to God, the more other stuff in our life won't matter. It just won't matter as much. And I'm just saying that because in my life, there's been plenty of things that I've done, and I've thought, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And if I'm not doing it, if I'm not reading my Bible, you know, 5 chapters a day, then I'm not, you know, going to heaven. It wasn't about that. It was all about loving God. See, the more I loved God, the easier to read my Bible it was, because otherwise it was a torture. And I don't want my Bible reading to be duty. I want it to be delight. I want it to be easy, right? And so it's one of those things. We got to love God with everything we got. But we cannot miss the second part, and that is love people. See, sometimes we get so spiritual, we love God so much, and we can come into church, we can raise our hands, we can clap, we can shout, the preacher will preach, and we take notes, and we say amen, and we do all that, and that's great. But whenever we leave this place, if we're not loving people, none of that stuff matters. None of that stuff matters. Paul said it best. He said, you can have all the spiritual gifts you want, but if you don't love anybody, you're just making noise. You're just making noise. That's why I'm so excited about what God's doing here at Gateway, especially through our small groups. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he showed up for the first time. He works a lot on Sundays, but he had the opportunity to show up. And so he walks into church, he sits down, and I was talking to him later. You know, the reason that he came, it wasn't because I was a good preacher. He didn't know me as a preacher. It wasn't because Pastor Shane is a good worship leader. He didn't know Shane as a worship leader. He knew me and Pastor Shane as guys on the football field on Sunday afternoon. He showed up because he already had relationship with people. Because somebody loved him no matter what his sin is. No, somebody loved him no matter what his lifestyle was, no matter what he does. Somebody loved him. And so therefore, it's easy for him to come. And whenever he came, he said, man, God touched my life. He said, the whole time I'm sitting here, I was just crying, listening to the word. Pastor Shane did a great job last week, by the way, Pastor Shane. Good job. I was proud of you. I'm telling you, man, if we're not loving people, we're missing the gospel. We're not going to have life if we're not loving people. Let's keep on going because I could get stuck right there and y'all get mad at me and get tired of it. So verse 29, it says, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus replied, this is a great story. So Jesus tells him, you got to love people, right? See, this is the thing. You'll notice here how easy it is for people to love God. The guy says, I love God. Who's my neighbor? He didn't say, how do I love God? He already had that one covered. He said, how do I love people? Who is my neighbor? So Jesus says, let me give you a good example. He says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan. Let me pause for a second. In case you don't understand, the Samaritans and the Jews, Samaritans were like a mixed breed, okay? They were part Jews, part Samaritan, and so they were kind of a mixed breed. They worshiped like the Jews did, but they were not allowed to associate with the Jews, okay? So we had some race kind of issues going on in this story, and so the Samaritan is coming down. Now, the two church leaders have already come down. The two religious people, the two guys that love God, have already walked down the road, seen the man bloody and naked. They didn't know if he was dead or alive. And so in order to keep up their traditions, they wouldn't touch him because a church leader would be made unclean if they touched a dead person. And listen, it wasn't one of those things where they'd be struck dead. It was one of those things they just had to go stand with the unclean people until they got clean. So they didn't want to be humiliated, so they passed by to the other side. The Samaritan, on the other hand, he shows up knowing the same customs, knowing the same traditions, because he has to live them too, but he's got this other wall of race in between. He sees the guy, and the Bible says this. This is key. It says, but the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, verse 33, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He had compassion. Now, let me tell you why I'm excited about the word compassion today. See, throughout the Gospels, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. I don't know how many times it says that. I didn't look it all up. But multiple times the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion and then he ministered. He was moved with compassion and then he healed somebody. He was moved with compassion and then he did something. He's always being moved by compassion, right? Now, when they were writing the Gospels, they didn't really, the word compassion is what we translate what they said as, but they didn't really have a great word to describe what they saw in Jesus. And so they mashed up some Jewish word, I mean some Greek words to make up this thought of compassion. And the word compassion means in the Greek, it's like a deep emotional feeling, something that comes from way down inside. They say literally from the bowels of man, that it rises up and out of man, this deep emotional, caring feeling. In other words, when they saw Jesus have compassion, they probably saw Jesus well up with tears. They probably saw Jesus begin to cry when he would look at the crowds, when he would look at people that were hurting and broken, and they probably saw something deep. It wasn't just, oh man, that's too bad, right? It wasn't that kind of thing. We do that all the time. We see some guy on the side of the road, and he's got a "We'll work for food" sign, and we pull up next to him, and we roll our window up, lock our doors just in case, you know, because you never know. He might get in there and beat you with this cardboard sign. And so we roll up our windows, lock our doors, and we hide all of our money, or we take all the money out of our pocket and throw it in the floor. That way we can literally say, I have no money on me. And then we say, that's just too bad. I hate that for that fella. And then we keep going. We go down to Lynn Park and we preach and we minister, but we just look at people and we kind of look down at them, not because we're better than them, but we just kind of look down on them. We kind of pity them. But Jesus, when he looked at those same people, began to cry, began to weep. He had this deep emotional moment that all of a sudden he couldn't help. Can I tell you something today about compassion? The Holy Spirit will speak to you through compassion. We keep waiting on a hand to write on the wall. We keep waiting on God's voice to boom in our ears. But let me tell you something. God will speak to you today through compassion if you'll allow yourself to become sensitive to what he's trying to say. Matthew chapter 14, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 14, the Bible talks about Jesus. His cousin was John the Baptist, right? His cousin just has his head chopped off because a little girl was dancing seductively and got her stepfather excited. And so he said, I'll give you anything you want. And the mama, who hated John the Baptist, said, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Now, talk about a twisted birthday party. Like, this is jacked up, right? So the little girl says, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. So they go for party favors, chop off his head, bring his head out on a silver platter, and the little girl presents it to her stepfather. And then someone goes and tells Jesus this story. Now the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, around verses 13, I think, 13 and 14, that Jesus withdrew and wanted to go to a private place, wanted to go somewhere where he could mourn, where he could grieve. Haven't we all had those moments? Maybe it wasn't your cousin's head getting chopped off, I hope. But haven't we all had those moments where we've wanted to grieve, we wanted to mourn, we've had a bad day, we've had a bad week, we've had something terrible happen to us, and we want to just shut down, but on our way home, we see this guy, and we know he needs our help. And we just say, God, it's not a good day today. I'm just not feeling it. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus. He's trying to mourn. He's trying to grieve. And all of a sudden, all these people show up, and the Bible says he was moved by compassion to minister to them, to love them, to feed them. And that's where we get one of the great feedings in the Bible. It's all because Jesus was moved by compassion. Let me tell you something about being moved by compassion. That's where God can take you out of your circumstance and propel you into your destiny if you'll allow him to move you by compassion. If you'll learn not to turn off that voice, turn off that feeling of compassion, instead, if you'll learn to turn it up and be sensitive to it, then God wants to use you in a great way. Maybe it's your boss that you can't stand. God wants to use you if you feel that compassion. I heard this great story. I've shared it before, but I heard this great story the other day of a man on an airplane. He was sitting in coach or economy or whatever it's called, and he's sitting back there, and while he's sitting back there, he saw this lady sitting across from him, and he just felt this wave of compassion come over him, and he just knew, I don't know what it is, but there's something about this lady. I need to talk to her, and I don't know why, but just compassion moved him. And about that time, the stewardess came back, or the flight attendant, whatever we're calling them nowadays, came back, and they said, sir, you've been given an upgrade to first class. And he said, no thanks. He said, no, you don't understand, sir. This is free. Like, it's a free upgrade. We got a seat up there waiting for you. We got hot towels. We got champagne. We got caviar. I don't know about all that, but we have first class. I just imagine that's what first class is all about. You know, it's just, I'm not allowed to sit up there, but we've got all this great stuff in first class. We got a little curtain we'll close, and no one will even see you. And he's like, no, I don't want it. She said, are you sure? Like, you understand We're giving you first class. He said, look, I don't want first class. So the stewardess walks on, and after she leaves, wouldn't you know it, the lady across heard the whole thing. And the lady across says, hey, can you tell me real quick, why in the world did you not take the upgrade to first class? He said, well, let me tell you why. And he began to speak to her. And as he spoke to her, God spoke through him. And the woman just broke down, began to cry. And he was able to pray with her. And God was able to minister to her life. Why? All because he had compassion. All because he had compassion. And he didn't let circumstances dictate his compassion. He had compassion and he moved on it. So today, by the end of this service, I'm going to pray for you that God will move you with his compassion. Amen. Verse 34. We got to keep going. So the Samaritan has compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more I spend, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back. So let's pause there for a second. I want you to look at the couple of things that the Samaritan did, because this is really the practical meat part of the message today, because we're thinking right now, how can I be compassionate? What do I need to do to be compassionate? I want you to look at this. There's about 4 or 5 things that the Samaritan did, and I'm not saying you got to do all 4 or 5, but if you could learn to do one of these, I'm going to challenge you between now and Christmas to be compassionate. I'm going to put tools in your hand in just a few minutes to help you to be compassionate. I'm not asking you to do all of these things, but look at a couple of things he did. Number one, he bound up his wounds. He bound up his wounds. What is that? That's the man's physical body that was hurting. He bound up his wounds. There are people in your life, people all around you, that have physical needs. I'm not talking about material needs. I'm talking about physical needs, and they need somebody to help them. There may be a neighbor, and they can't get out and cut their grass. And for you to go out and cut their grass for them would be compassionate. That would be compassionate. There may be some people that physically can't get to church or can't get to the doctor. One of my best buds, and I hate that he's gone, is Don Wright, Sandy's husband. One time I saw Don. I was at Moe's Barbecue down here on Highway 11. I love Moe's Barbecue, by the way. I was at Moe's Barbecue on Highway 11 getting some redneck nachos, and so I'm in Moe's, and I'm in there, and I see Don walk in. And he's with this lady that was like in her 90s or something. And I said, hey, Don, you know, like, this is weird. You know, where's Sandy? What's going on? And Don was like, I'm here with my friend, and we're picking up some lunch and I'm taking her home. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, see you, Don. My brain was just like dead. I didn't understand, because I'm so used to seeing Don and Sandy together. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And so I talked to Sandy, and I was like, Sandy, what is happening? And Sandy said that this lady had gotten too old and was unable physically to drive herself to the doctor. And one time, Don volunteered to take her. And that one time turned into like 3 or 4 years of Don taking this lady to the doctor. He couldn't get out of it. He wasn't as compassionate as I make him out sound. He was just stuck, really. But the first time was compassion, and the rest of the time was just obligation. But Don took this lady to the doctor like every week, I guess. And twice a month he took this lady to the doctor. Now listen, that may sound like Don's being nice. And he was. But can I tell you something? Whenever we learn to be nice, when we learn to have the compassion of Christ, especially towards non-believers, the Bible says that the kindness of the Lord leads people to repentance. What if God wants to choose to use you to be kind? What if he wants you to be the kindness of the Lord? The kindness of the Lord leads people to repentance, and that's part of our job. So he did the physical. The next thing we see him do is oil and wine. Well, we got to talk about what oil and wine are real quick. Let me tell you what oil does in this situation. The oil is something that soothes and takes away the pain and comforts the person. It's almost like giving someone morphine, right? It just soothes the pain, soothes the body. And so the oil was there to comfort the man that was hurt. Listen, for some of you, you may say, physically, I can't help someone physically. I can't help somebody financially. There's a lot I can't do. Let me tell you what you can do. You can comfort somebody. You can write a card. You can send an email. You can send a text. You can encourage somebody. You can go up to somebody and tell them you love them and that God loves them and that you're praying for them. You can find somebody that maybe lost somebody this year and they're going to, it may be hard during the holidays, and you can invite them over. You can take them some food. You can do something. You can love somebody by giving them comfort and peace. That's the oil. The wine has alcohol in it, right? So whenever you pour alcohol on an open wound, it comes in and it begins to sanitize it and clean it out. There's people in your life right now that are struggling to live a spiritual life. They're struggling to live a godly life. They're struggling with addiction. They're struggling with issues. And they need somebody that's not going to judge them, that's not going to put them down. They need somebody that's going to put their arm around them, get down in the ditch with them, and say, let me help you. Let me help you walk this out. There's people in your life right now coming into the holidays that they're dealing with unforgiveness. Maybe you're holding a grudge against them, and you need to just let them go. You need to let them go. You need to walk somebody through. We talk about one step all the time at this church. And what we mean by one step is, what's that one step? Someone's addicted to something. What's the one step we can get them off of that? Someone's never read their Bible before. What's the one step? And if you would learn to do that for somebody, that would be a huge blessing. Huge blessing. The next thing the Bible says that the man did is he took him to the inn. He took him to somebody else that could take care of him. The man knew, the Samaritan knew, I can't do everything that you need done. I can just be compassionate to you, but there's somebody else that can really help you get over this, and let me take you to them. As a matter of fact, it said he put him on his own animal and took him there. Can I tell you something that you can do this month, over the next few weeks? Bring somebody to church. Some of y'all say, I heard someone tell me the other day, they said, you know what, I'm not good at witnessing. I said, I'm not good at witnessing. I'm good at helping people. I'm good at discipling people. I'm just not good at witnessing to people. Bring them to church. Let us do that part for you. Bring them to the inn. Put them in your car, on your horse, whatever, however it is you get here. Hopefully you got more than a horse, but for some of you, that'd be awesome. Bring them in and give them to somebody that can do it. Let me quickly finish up. Here's the last couple things he says. He says, and the next day he gave out 2 denarii and gave it to him. Listen, that's the financial part. There's some people that have financial, material needs. And it's okay to give people that. It's okay to pay for somebody's coffee. It's okay to pay for somebody's lunch. That would be a great honor. Let me tell you something that would be really awesome for you to do. I follow Dave Ramsey on Twitter. And Dave Ramsey was showing that somebody the other day, he tweeted this out, a receipt. That this guy goes into like a Waffle House and buys a cup of coffee and leaves a $1,000 tip. How many would you like to be working at Waffle House that day? Heck yeah, me too. I'm thinking about applying. What was the guy doing? The guy was being compassionate. He was being compassionate. He was just loving somebody for the sake of love. And he left them this huge tip. And then y'all are going to think, well, Pastor Gabriel, why are you saying that? That would keep us from giving here. No, it would make you generous in heart. And we need to be compassionate. If you're compassionate out there, you'll be compassionate in here. I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about our hearts today. I'm worried about us being compassionate. And I'm worried about the next month, what we're going to do to be compassionate. I want to encourage you. Even if it's financial, you've heard me tell stories before of buying someone's meal. I've done that plenty of times. I enjoy doing that. It's fun to do. And I want to encourage you, meet someone's financial needs, if at all possible, if you have the means to do it. And the last thing Jesus says, verse 37, he said, you go and do likewise. We're about to show you a video, and whenever we do, I want to give you some of my ushers. They've got an envelope. Don't open the envelope. I'm going to give you the envelope. Inside that envelope is 5 little cards. And those little cards just basically say, this is just a reminder that God loves you or Jesus loves you, and it's got our name on the back. It's got Gateway Family Church on the back. Here's what I want you to do with those envelopes. There's a piece of paper in there, and that paper just gives you some ideas. I want you to take those cards over the next few weeks, and I want you to take those cards. I want you to go to a restaurant. I want you to buy somebody's meal for them if you've got the money to do it, and I want you to leave that card with the waitress to give it to them. I want you to go over to somebody's house. I want you to maybe take out their trash for them or cut their yard for them and leave that card with them. I want you to take somebody cookies, and maybe that's your gift. You can bake cookies. I want you to take somebody cookies and put that card in there just to show people that God loves them. Let me tell you what not to do. Don't go to a restaurant and pay $30 for a meal and leave a $1 tip and put that card on there. I will disown you. Don't do that. Don't be cheap. Let me give you an example. Guys, y'all can go ahead and pass out the envelopes while I'm talking. I want to give one more example. Let me give you an example. This is not new to us. This is not new to church world. Lots of churches do what we're doing right now. We've done this before. We've just never done it at this time of year. But let me tell you a couple of quick stories. I heard this one story of a church in Montgomery that this lady went through Starbucks, and whenever she went through Starbucks, she said, I want to buy my coffee, and I want to pay for the coffee behind me. Will you just leave them one of these little cards for her church? And the Starbucks attendant said, sure, we'll do it. So the Starbucks attendant took the card. The next car comes up, and they said, hey, your coffee's already been paid for by the car in front of you, and they wanted me to give you this card. So the girl takes the next person takes the card, and they said, that is so cool. Let me tell you what, let me buy the car behind me's coffee, and you give them the card. 15 cars later, someone finally just took the card and left. 15 cards. They just kept passing it on back. Just, yeah, let me buy someone else's. Look, here's what happened. One person from a church decided to be compassionate, and it spurred generosity through 15 other cars that didn't go to the church. Let me tell you one other quick story. There's a story of a person that went into a, I think it was Chick-fil-A, and the car in front of them paid for the meal. They pulled up, and the person said, your meal's already been paid for, and they left you this card. The lady took the card, she began to cry, she got her meal, she went home. Later on, she wrote the pastor a letter. I heard the pastor tell the story. The pastor read the letter, and basically what the letter said was, is she said, I was at the end of my rope. I had chosen Chick-fil-A, of all places, to have my final meal, and I was going to go home and commit suicide. I didn't think anybody loved me. I didn't think anybody cared about me. But then I got a little card, and it said, God loves you. And I realized that somebody does care. Can I tell you something today? Just a little bit of compassion can go a long way. Just a little bit of love can change somebody's life forever. I want to encourage you to be compassionate. Let's watch this video, and then I'm going to close this out with prayer. This morning, I want us to pray, and I want us to end with this thought. I talked the whole time about us being the Samaritan, but can I tell you today, Jesus is also the Samaritan. There's been plenty of us, we found ourselves face down in a ditch. Not unlike the homeless guy, the heroin addict he was talking about, high, unable to hold the plate, dropping food all over ourselves. And can I tell you what Jesus does? Jesus is not afraid to get down in the ditch. I don't know how many ditches you've been down in lately, but ditches are not places that are clean. Ditches are places where the trash runs off, where the mess runs off. And this man found himself face down in a ditch, bloody and beaten. And Jesus shows up and gets down in the ditch. And that's exactly how we are. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and verses 4 basically says this. It says, we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in the ditch, bloody, beaten, messy, nobody, face down. And the Bible says in verse 4, but because of God's great love. Don't you love it when God butts in? But because of God's great love, He comes in and scoops us up. Because of the compassion of God, He picks us up. He binds up our wounds. The Bible says that by His stripes we are healed. He comes in, He pours in the wine. The Bible says that His blood is wine, and it cleanses us of all of our sins. He pours on the oil. The Bible says that the oil is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings peace and comfort to our lives. And then He takes us. He takes us, and He provides everything we need. The Samaritan said, whatever money you need until I get back, I'll provide it. The Bible says that He has given us everything that we need to keep us until the day that He shows back up. Can I tell you something today? There's some of you spiritually today, you find yourself in the ditch. You find yourself bloody and in a mess. You're hurting today. You're not serving God. You have no relationship with Christ. But He's willing to get down in the ditch for you today. Why don't you bow your heads with me today? Close your eyes. Nobody looking around.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.